हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Right, so now we've had all the great, you know, the generals of the army and that then speak, and some neglectful of the others, and then Bhishma pulls them all together, and then he gives the suggestion, since we are going to fight, then Duryodhana should take half the army and take the cows, because they came there to collect the cows. And so then Bhishma then will fight against Arjuna, you know, with the other half of the army. So Duryodhana, you know, then he listens. Duryodhana agreed. Leaving Bhishma in charge of half the army, he left with the other half, driving the cows ahead of him. Bhishma stood surrounded by Drona, Kripa, Karna, and Ashwatthama. He ordered them into various positions in preparation for battle. As they moved into position, they saw Arjuna's chariot approach. Hearing a sound resembling thunderclaps, as Arjuna twanged his bowstring, Drona said, "There is no doubt that this is the Gandiva. No bow could emit such sounds." Right, because other bows you can do and they'll give a loud sound, but the Gandiva, we have to remember, was originally Lord Brahma's bow. And then, that, you know, it was given to him, and then from there it came down through the demigods and all that, and then to Varuna, you know, Indra used it, and now it's given to Arjuna. So there's no bow that they have, because they don't have celestial bows. They have very well-made, very powerful bows, but not, that's not celestial. Observe closely the banner on the chariot. There you will see a celestial monkey sending forth terrible cries. It's not that he's standing there with his mouth open. Hanuman's actually on the flag, and he's actually shouting, right? Know for certain that is Arjuna who faces us. As Drona spoke, because otherwise if the time wasn't up, Arjuna wouldn't have put up his flag, or he wouldn't have come out to fight, or like this. But that he did means the time was up, and that he's put up his flag. He has no problem with it being Arjuna. But, you know, he can't go in there and rearrange himself to look like Arjuna. You know, it's that they're already there, so he comes out to fight even looking like a eunuch. And you know, they want to say whatever they want about that. It doesn't mean that he won't cut off the head with an arrow. Right? As Drona spoke, two arrows fell from the sky and landed in his chariot at his feet. Other arrows touched the chariots of Bhishma and Kripa. Seeing his elders again after a long time, Partha is offering his respects, right? Because they're warriors, so he sends two arrows that land at their feet. So that means he's offering respects. Drona said, holding up his hand to bless Arjuna, "Pandu's sun shines on the battlefield like a well-tended sacrificial fire. Stand firm, for his next arrows will not be carrying his respects." Right? He sends that to them, to those three. You know, because everybody else is not, how you say it? You know, Ashwatthama will be a godbrother, will be a student along with him. So these three are Drona. So that means that it looks like Duryodhana along with him, Karna went. Because only these four stayed. So, chapter 39. So, see, here is that he is a student, he is offering respects, they give their blessings. Like that, even though they're fighting on opposite sides, because they're doing their duties. So this is not Duryodhana and Karna and that. It's based on just envy and attachment. But for the others, the proper Kshatriya, he's just doing his duty. So if it ends up that he's on the other side, then they will fight to their best. But at the same time, someone does something nice, someone behaves properly, that will be respected. But no matter what they do, Karna and Duryodhana won't respect anybody unless they fully agree with them and tell them they're fabulous. Then they're nice. Chapter 39, The Battle at Virat. In his chariot, only half a mile from the Kurus, Arjuna instructed the prince to halt while he established the enemy's position. Bhimijaya gazed in amazement at the army before him. "Who are these heroes who resemble mountains in the midst of a mighty ocean?" he asked. "The one with the emblem of a golden water pot on his flagstaff is Drona," Arjuna replied. "I always worship him. You should circumambulate in his chariot, and I will only strike him if he first attacks me, for such is the duty of Kshatriyas," right? Because he's his preceptor. You know, so if he does attack him, then it's his business to fight back. But if he doesn't attack, he won't attack him. Arjuna pointed to each of the leading chariots. The hero clad in a coat of tiger skin on the chariot drawn by red horses is Kripa. "Today I will show him how light I can be in the use of weapons." By his side, the warrior whose flag bears the sign of a bow is Ashwatthama. "He is my preceptor's son. Thus he too is worthy of my respects." The one clad in golden mail, whose emblem is a serpent against a golden background, is Duryodhana. He always bears the pond of his ill will. Immediately behind him is a hero blazing like fire with the emblem of a strong rope for binding elephants. That is the wicked-minded Karna. "Be careful when you approach him, for he always challenges me to fight." Right, so some of you might be going by, but if he sees Arjuna, he'll real challenge. So he's saying, you know, be careful there. Because you don't want to go unless you're ready to fight. If you're fighting someone else, don't go near his chariot. Arjuna pointed towards the chariot that stood behind the four he had already named. This great hero. Oh, it looks like Karna may be there. Oh, yes, no, Karna is there. Drona, Kripa, Karna, and Ashwatthama. So Karna did stay. No, stay. This great hero is behind those other four, whose flag is blue and emblazoned with a golden palmria tree and five stars, and who is shielded by a white umbrella, is Shantanu's son Bhishma, our grandfather. Always treated with regal honor by the Kauravas, he follows Duryodhana. "You should approach him last, for he will never harm me." After observing the army for some time, Arjuna told the prince to advance. As he moved off, he saw Duryodhana detach himself from the army and move towards the south, followed by half the troops. Okay, yeah, because they're on the opposite side, because they'd be on the western side, because they attacked at the front. And so the front will be the east. So they came on, the Kauravas came the opposite of the west, so now he's taking off to the south. Arjuna ordered Bhumijaya to follow him. "I will engage with Duryodhana, for if he is overpowered, then our purpose will be accomplished," right? Because if we fight with them, he'll get it with the cows. So they're expecting to fight here, but the point is he's come out to protect the cows, right? So the first thing is to go after Duryodhana, because now Duryodhana will be without these five great warriors. And so then that will be, he'll be at a disadvantage. So he's a great fighter, he'll still be at a disadvantage. Arjuna then sent arrows towards his three elders who faced him on the battlefield. Kripa, observing Arjuna's chariot change direction, immediately understood his intention. Quickly moved to intercept the Pandava, he shouted, "What will you do with the Machya's vast wealth if Duryodhana were to sink like a whole boat in the Parta water?" Arjuna released hundreds of thousands of arrows, and they covered the Kuru forces like a swarm of locusts. The warriors could not see anything, and they became confused. Being unable even to flee, they praised Arjuna's prowess. When it says hundreds of thousands, means he shoots, can shoot one arrow, and with mantra, it can turn into so many thousands, and he can shoot arrows right after another, like this. So, just so many were there. The earth and sky resounded with the twang of the Gandiva and the blast of Arjuna's conch shell. Virat-san maneuvered the chariot dexterously and cut off Duryodhana, preventing him from escaping with the cows. Right, so then the cows are in front, and then the army is behind. So if you go, the cows will go in front. And so then he cuts them off, so then the cows can keep going. And then now Duryodhana, will have to fight or turn back and meet the rest of the army. As Arjuna closed upon Duryodhana, the cows began to run back towards the city. Right, because they were taking to the south. But, as he checks in, then the cows ran back to the city. Because that's where the stables are. So they're going to go back to their own place. Because all these warriors and that, the cows aren't going to be happy. They're running around. They want to sit around and eat grass. They don't want to have to run in front of chariots. Duryodhana quickly came back to the side of the Kuru elders. So in that way, the cows were saved. they failed at that already. That was the point made before by Kripa. It says, you know, you haven't even saved the cows. You're talking so much that you haven't even saved the cows. You know, it means gotten away from the Virat. And so now that's the first thing he does. He just moves in one time and they're already there. He puts so many arrows, no one can fight. The cows go back. And now Duryodhana has to go over and now he can fight them all together. After saving the Matsya cows, Arjuna said, "Let us leave the cowardly Duryodhana for now. He has fled for his life. I know that the wretched Karna desires to fight with me, even as one elephant fights with another. Seek him out." Right? So now that he said that, he went back to the army because he didn't stand and fight him. He just went back to the army. So that means, you know, he's not that powerful. They talked so much. But, "O prince, and I will curb his pride. He has grown insolent due to the protection Duryodhana has afforded him." Because Duryodhana takes care, then he's become very proud. "The prince swung the chariot around and raced into the center of the battlefield, from where he could see all the leading Kurus. Four of Duryodhana's brothers came forward and confronted Arjuna. They sent their arrows towards him in steady waves, but Bhumijaya avoided the falling shafts by his skillful driving." So that was at least one thing he was good at. But there's a good point, chance he is quite good at fighting like that, but he's never had seen such an army and such prowess and all that, so he became, you know, worried like that. But he was probably quite good. But his driving of the chariot, he's a good chariot driver. "At the same time, Arjuna sought his own blazing arrows, which covered the court of chariots. The Pandava, remembering Bhima's vow to kill all of Dhritarashtra's sons, avoided slaying any of them." Right? So, because otherwise he would have killed them on the spot, but Bhima said he'll kill them. And so he left them. "Other mighty warriors rushed at Arjuna, roaring and releasing showers of weapons. One, a king named Shatruntapa, assailed him with such force that he checked the movement of his chariot. Arjuna disappeared beneath a hail of arrows as Shatruntapa fought with fury. Wounded by the assault, Arjuna blazed up in anger. He drew the Gandiva back to his ear and fired five deadly arrows that killed Shatruntapa's four horses and his charioteer. With 10 more straight flying shafts, he tore off the king's armor along with his arms and head. Shatruntapa fell to the earth like a mountain peak struck down by a thunderbolt. Arjuna turned towards the other Kuru fighters who were closing in on him. He seemed to be dancing on his chariot as he released his golden plumed arrows. Long lines of shafts were seen to fly from Arjuna in all directions. As he moved, because he can shoot with both hands. So he can shoot out here and he can shoot out here. All he has to do is put it this way and that'll take the arrows this way. He'll shoot this way and then back this way. No one else can do that. They're, you know, they have their one hand is the thing. So they want to do, they have to turn. As he moved among the Kuru army, it appeared like a forest fire consuming dry wood at this end of summer. Right. So summer, it's very hot. Everything is very dry, and so then the fire that goes through at that time, it just burns. It's not like there's some green and it's a little slow. No. The battlefield presented a dreadful scene with the mangled bodies of warriors and animals strewn about. Elephants screamed and horses whinnied in terror. The roars of the fighters and the blast of the conch shells and trumpets added to the clamor. Above all these sounds rode Hanuman's terrible cries from Arjuna's standard. So, even though so much noise was going on, Hanuman was louder. As Arjuna's chariot approached Karna, Arjuna is attacked by Karna's brother. Arjuna at once killed his horses and with a crescent-tipped arrow beheaded the warrior right in front of Karna. Right? The crescent means you have the arrow and it has this curved, sharp razor thing. It's specifically for cutting off heads like that. So whenever you see they take up a crescent, headed, tipped arrow, that means it's for cutting off a head or something. Seeing his brother fall like a palm tree cut at its root means it's just... He sent once and then he's finished. So it wasn't like it was a big fight like this first king. He was able to wound Arjuna. But, you know, nothing else like that. Seeing his brother fall like a palm tree cut at its root, Karna was infuriated. He rushed at the Pandava with a great shout. With 12 arrows, he wounded both Arjuna and Bhumijaya as well as all of his horses. Arjuna assailed Karna with full force like Garuda falling upon a serpent. The other Kuru seeing an encounter about to take place between the two heroes stood back to watch. Because it's also about the Kshatriya spirit and the mood and that, and great fighters watching, you know, just what they do and the mood and that, it's inspiring. So now everybody else stops fighting and just watches these two fighting. Arjuna sent a thick shower of arrows towards Karna, but Karna baffled the shafts with his own. He counterattacked Arjuna with thousands of arrows. With his bright armor and flashing steel arrows, Karna seemed like a fire sending forth showers of sparks. Seeing Karna holding Arjuna off, the other Kuru fighters cheered him on, right? Because now he's doing a good job, so they're all saying, you know, yes. They clapped their hands and blew their conches. Arjuna could not tolerate hearing such praise, and he fought with redoubled strength. Both combatants sent hundreds of thousands of arrows at each other. To those watching, it seemed like the sun and moon were contending behind black clouds. Karna repeatedly attempted to kill Arjuna's horses and charioteer, but the Pandava checked Karna's arrows with his own every time, right? Because he said he was going to protect Bhumi Jaya, you know, and he can do that. The two fighters fired arrows with blinding speed, their hands hardly visible as they worked their bows. Karna sent a non-stop stream of shafts that resembled the sun's rays shining on the earth. Gradually, however, Arjuna gained an edge over his opponent. While checking Karna's arrows, he began to pierce him all over his body. Because someone sends an arrow, you have to, you know, get back. Then he sends another, and then you have to defeat that. But at some point, he starts to be able to, besides defeating what he's shooting, he's able to send other arrows attack. We see Arjuna many times has done that in the battle. With fleet arrows, he wounded Karna in the arms, thighs, breast, and head. Without his natural coat of impenetrable armor, Karna was hurt badly by Arjuna's attack. Finally, he turned away from the fight and fled like one elephant defeated by another, right? Because they'll fight really fierce, but when the one fears, okay, this is not happening, they just run off like that. When Karna retreated, the other Kurus, headed by Duryodhana, came to attack Arjuna. So now he's actually had a full-on battle. You can't say, okay, at Draupadi Swayamvara they fought, but it wasn't like a full fight because they thought they were Brahmins, so, you know, like that. But they saw they were very powerful. This was a full-on fight. So hopefully he doesn't say, again, you know, oh, he's only 1/16th part like that. When Karna retreated, the other Kurus, headed by Duryodhana, came to attack Arjuna. Without flagging, Arjuna cheerfully met their attack, right? He's just fighting with Karna. As soon as he leaves, he immediately now is fighting with them. He displayed various celestial weapons that filled the entire sky with arrows. No part of the battlefield occupied by the Kurus was visible as Arjuna's arrows rained down. It was impossible to even look at the Pandava in his anger. He seemed like the fire at the end of the cosmic manifestation. As Arjuna fought like a superhuman being, he created havoc among his foes. His arrows only fell where they were aimed, and his bow was always bent into a circle. The Kuru army fell back in terror, the soldiers worshipping Arjuna in their minds. Horses and elephants that were not slain ran in all directions. Smashed chariots lay everywhere, with the bodies of their drivers and warriors lying prostrate nearby. In the sky, the gods, Gandharvas, Siddhas, and Rishis assembled to watch Arjuna fight, right? Because this is a celestial fight. The best in the universe is going to be him and Narayana. So Nara, Narayana, Rishi, they're the best. When the demigods can't defeat Nara, Narayana, Rishi come. So here, this is best. So no one has seen, you know, and nothing's comparable to their fighting, so everyone's going to come and watch. The fragrance of the celestial garland spread across the battlefield as if trees had blossomed in spring. Their clothes, ornaments, and shining conveyances lit up the region with a brilliant luster. The sky was ablaze. It was beautiful to behold. In the midst of all the celestials stood Indra, looking with affection at his son. Right, so then you're having, before it was just inauspicious signs, but now Arjuna's there for that side, then the demigods have all come, and they're all watching. And there, then, you know, the garlands and that, wonderful fragrance, and their jewels and ornaments, and they themselves create a great luster in the sky, so it makes something very special. And they can all understand that this is Arjuna, right? So then we shall see how Arjuna continues with the battle after this. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.